Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Team Toby Positive Radio Show with your host, Charmaine Hammond. Join us each week as Charmaine and her Team Toby Pack improve lives by teaching kindness, acceptance, and respect. Our mission is to get listeners into the conversation about living a fulfilled, prosperous life through the unique and powerful animal-human bond. Be part of the team and lead the way of change. Find us on the web, Facebook, and YouTube at The Original Team Toby and on Twitter at Team Toby 2. Here's your host, Charmaine Hammond.
Hello, everyone. It's Charmaine Hammond, and we're talking about a topic I love talking about. It's strength-based work. That's right, strength, focusing on our strengths. And we live in a world right now where a lot of people see the negative instead of the positive. And today with us, we have Izzy, who is the lead mentor with Some Other Solution Society for Crisis Prevention, otherwise known as SOS. She's in the Child and Youth Care Program as the lead mentor. And she's going to be talking to us today a little bit about the role that strengths play in mentoring with young people. Now, I know that a lot of times when we're growing up, Izzy, stuff happens. I mean, life can be dramatic as a young person, or at least I felt like I had a lot of trauma as a teenager. You know, we're bombarded by information, and people are helping us grow into responsible citizens. Sometimes we can have access to feedback that's negative or constructive, I like to call it. But if we flip the switch and we talk about strengths, why is it so important to look at the strengths in a child, and how does that affect the child?
Most of the time, if we're thinking in the school setting, a lot of the things are academic-based. Mm. And there's so many different learning styles that if they're really good with their hands and not a lot of arts being done in class and learning through that way, then they might be, you know, failing at the other subjects because
right.
they're not, their strengths aren't there. So focusing, let's say, if they're really hands-on and you know that already and they learn quick like that, to kind of incorporate some of the activities that will be hands-on based that kind of get to the point of learning more about, let's say, science, which mm-hmm. is already hands-on for the later stages in high school, but
right.
not so much in the younger ages. It kind of builds on the strengths that they have and they knowing that that's the way they learn to kind of make that bloom more.
Mm, that's so critical when you talk about all the different learning styles and to really figure out how a certain child learns best and focus on that. Because I think back in school, math was my subject that I actually dreaded it. Math and gym. With gym, I was the kid that never got picked for sports because, quite frankly, I sucked at them. So nobody wanted me on their team. And then with math, my brain just couldn't get it. And it was in grade 9 that I had this phenomenal teacher, Mr. Sidwell. I mean, he was just amazing. And he helped me understand math differently. And I think he did it, Izzy, because he figured out my working style, or my learning style, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And then he figured out what my strengths were. So some of my strengths were that I liked organization. I liked to write things down. I liked to sort of be colorful. So Mr. Sidwell found a way to teach me math in a way that focused on my strengths, and I got my best grades that I ever got in math in my entire life in his class. So I love that you're talking about strengths and how that builds people's confidence. And do you see that sometimes when people work from a strength-based perspective with kids that they just flourish?
Yeah, and they start, you give them hope.
Mm.
So you give them hope that they can accomplish things. It might not be in the way that everyone's doing it, but it's in a way that it's still getting done, but being done in a different way. So I know I'm a visual learner, and a lot of the time I have to either draw it out or write it down to kind of learn it more
mm-hmm.
Instead of just hearing it be taught like through verbal. If there's an image being done, I can remember the image and just my memory just works that way. So if a lot of the kids, if those are being taught and being incorporated, this child learns this way, they start to believe in themselves, they get a confidence, more hope, and knowing that they can accomplish a lot of things in life because they do have these strengths and they just have to modify things to make it work.
Right. Beautiful. Well said. And what about with dementees? Do you think sometimes kids, do they recognize their strengths? Sometimes do they overlook that? And if they do, how do they come to realize that they actually have a strength in a certain area?
Yeah, just from my experience working with a lot of the mentees, a lot of them don't know their strengths. They just know what they're not good at.
Wow.
Or they've been told they're not good at that. Their mind's already coming from that aspect of, I'm not good at anything, I am terrible at math, or I'm terrible in gym class. But when we flip it, we just kind of try to learn more about their talents and what they are good at. A lot of them start to realize that I'm able to do these things. Maybe I'll join the drumming group, and they start to learn that they love music, and that
wow.
Now they're getting this confidence being part of a club or extracurricular activity after school that they would have never signed up because they didn't believe in themselves.
Wow. Holy smokes. That's profound. So when you can help a child identify that he or she has a strength, I mean, you give them hope, you build their confidence, you get them, they become inspired about doing something that they wouldn't have done before. They have the opportunity to actually build on their strength further. And I anticipate that when they can start to see strengths in themselves, they start to see strengths in other people. Is that a fair assumption?
Yes. A lot of them start to see the world in a different way. So if you're seeing it in a negative way all the time, you're not really going to project that out to other people. You're going to see negatives in other people. But
right.
When you start to feel more positive about yourself and seeing the world in a more positive way, that reflects off people, and then you start to see like people's talents, like, oh, they're a really good dancer, or they're a great singer. And you start to seek more for those attributes that are more talent-based or different from other people. So the whole thing of like weird is cool, those type of things.
Yeah, where was weird is cool when I was in school. I love that. You know, we live in a society now, I think, where people are a little bit more accepting of differences and that it's okay to be different. And I'm so glad we've made that shift, because if we hadn't as a society, we'd have a lot of kids who don't know their strengths, aren't seeing the world in a positive way, and would be terrified to be different. Now, let's look at mentors, because certainly SOS has the mentoring program. You have mentors working in schools. I also know that sometimes we as humans end up being an informal mentor for a child and maybe don't even know that they perceive us as a mentor. So whether it's a role as a mentor or as adults, we're just showing up and being ourselves and a child sees us as a mentor, what can we do to help young people focus on their strengths?
Just laying it out or saying it to them, like you saw them at soccer and you know that they did a nice, you know, they were being a team player, and maybe not they didn't score, but they were being supportive of their teammates. Just out, like telling them in that moment that you're such a great team player. So acknowledging
right.
that they are doing great and they are being supportive to other people, or they are a big part of the team.
Beautiful.
Or
feedback.
And mm-hmm. reaffirming their strengths. So if you already know their strengths, just kind of reminding them, because once it becomes really every day it's being told to them, or that they'll start to believe it.
Yes.
And then from there it just becomes a bigger thing for them. They can do more activities that they didn't probably want to do in the beginning because they weren't confident.
Well, I love that, because then it creates a ripple effect. So as a mentor, you're providing that positive feedback to a young person about their strengths, maybe drawing out strengths they didn't even know they had, as you said before. That inspires them to notice strengths in other people, them to spread some good positive feedback. And I love that ripple effect. Often, do mentees focus on weaknesses rather than their own strengths, and why is this so?
Well, as I mentioned before, how a lot of them do focus on the weaknesses because there's not a lot of feedback that's happening about the things that they are good at.
Right.
Or that maybe people aren't seeking to look at those good things, but seeking out how can they improve. It's constantly, got to improve in this, instead of saying, you're really good at this, and you can use this skill to improve in those other things. So I don't really like to label it as weaknesses, but as improvements a lot of people see. It's really important for people as like mentors mm-hmm. or parents or teachers, whoever is playing a role in that child's life, to just, instead of saying weaknesses, just say focus on the strengths and then
Love
work
that.
From there.
I love that. You know, I remember going to school. This was actually in college, not in elementary, but I went to school, and one of my fellow students would often say a put down about herself. She'd say, "Oh, I'm fat," or "Oh, this shirt looks awful on me," or "Oh, my hair is just awful." And it wouldn't be occasionally. It was 5 or 6 or 10 times in a day. And I remember asking her, because I felt so bad, and I would always come back with a positive comment, and that wasn't solving the issue. And then one day I thought, I don't know what to say to make it better. And I asked her, "Why do you always say things about yourself in a mean way that you'd never say to me or anyone else?" Actually, what I learned was that she didn't get any positive feedback at any area of her life, not at her part-time job, not from her friends, not from her boyfriend, not from her family. And so I learned that sometimes people will point out their weaknesses or what they see as a flaw or complain about themselves because they're seeking that positive feedback. Do we see that sometimes in younger students?
Oh, yeah, I see that a lot. They'll say, you'll be doing an activity with them, and then they're saying, "I'm not a good drawer," or "I made a mistake." And I'll usually say, "There's no mistakes in this room. You know, it's always about trying something new. Because without trying it, you're never going to really find what you really like or what your interests are." And to kind of not focus on what people say about you and to more focus on the great things about yourself. Because we're constantly comparing ourselves, and you find that a lot throughout life, I would say, not just in school, but even as an adult.
I've done it. I've done it. I do it sometimes.
So you're always comparing yourself to other people, and instead of saying, "I'm really good at this," people usually say, "I'm not as great as that person in this."
Right.
So
right.
That is a big part, as in maybe a lot of kids who find their focus on their weaknesses, or adults, and because they've been told that most of their life, or they're just constantly comparing themselves.
This is such a rich conversation. Boy, I wish when I was growing up we had people talking about this stuff, because, I mean, certainly we got this in our family, but not necessarily do we sit down and talk about the role that strengths have when we're working with mentors, whether they be formal or informal. Well, today we've been with Izzy talking about mentoring and the importance of strengths. And here's my challenge for you all today. I want you all to go out and find one thing that you think you're super awesome about and go and tell somebody that. And I know that sounds weird and we don't like to feel like we're bragging. You don't have to say, "I'm awesome at this." But find a way to recognize your own strengths and go out and find a way to recognize the strengths of someone that you care about. A friend, a family member, a coworker, someone in school. Let's just make it a day that's based on the positive. Thank you, Izzy.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. It's Charmaine Hammond with Positive Radio, and I'm really excited today because we're going to be talking to Tegan, who is with Some Other Solutions Society for Crisis Prevention. And you all know I've talked about this organization a lot because I have deep, deep respect for the important work they do in their community. Now, the neat thing is here today, we're talking about a topic we haven't talked about before on the show. And we're going to be talking about how parents, how families can include their child in everyday activities. So welcome to the show, Tegan.
Hi, Charmaine. Pleased to be here.
Thank you. I'm really glad you could join us. And when you thought about this topic being so important, I jumped on it right away because I thought, A, we've never had this conversation on my show. And B, I started, when you said, "Let's talk about how families can include children in everyday activities," I started reflecting back on my past and could list off so many things that my mom and dad did that included me in everyday activities. And you know what? I really think it helped shape who I am today in a good way.
That's good.
So the first question I have for you is, you know, what activities should children be included in? What activities could parents include their children in?
There are many activities that parents can include their children in. I would suggest some simple chores, such as like chopping vegetables or maybe preparing a dessert together. Something where there'll be something to keep your hands busy and maybe some time to chat as well. It's a great way to bond.
I love that. And when you talk about doing something together and having time to chat, it kind of makes it not feel so intense. It probably feels a little bit more relaxing. Is that true?
For sure, yeah.
I know when my parents would say, let's have a talk, I always thought, oh no, I'm in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember those talks too. It's a different kind of atmosphere. It's very fun, very light, and kids, they really thrive on being a leader and feeling useful. So it's a great way for them to get to explore those different leadership qualities in the home.
Fabulous. And I love that you brought up leadership. Now, parents might be thinking, so Tegan, are there activities that I should not consider including my child in? What would you say those could be?
I think that there are some things that might be hard for some children to do depending on their age level, such as asking a five-year-old maybe to handle something hot on the stove. Most simple chores should be fine, such as like washing the dishes or sweeping, things that they can just feel included in the house.
So keeping safety in mind and also where they're at from a developmental perspective. I think that's so important because I remember years and years ago, I was talking to some parents. I think she had twins or triplets. And she said her biggest learning as a parent, and I don't have children, so this was really interesting for me to hear. She said, my biggest learning about being a parent was that children are not little adults. They're little children. And so it really challenged her constantly to be thinking, what's appropriate for five? And you know, what's appropriate for two and for seven?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a fine line to walk, I find, especially with mentoring kids, because I see them in a very different capacity than their parents do or even their teachers do. And when I talk with them, I do try and talk to them as if they are small adults, but at the same time, I do need to be aware of what is going on for them developmentally and where they are at in their own lives.
Right.
So it's kind of a fine balance to walk because no one likes to be talked down to or talked to like they're a cute little cat or something like that. They want to feel important and valued and be validated in who they are.
That's a really important message. I couldn't agree with you more. Now, what would you say to this? How should parents approach their children when they want them to be involved in family time or activities? Because I think a lot of times parents want their kids to be involved, and sometimes children are more interested in being with their friends or, you know, perhaps watching TV or doing an activity they enjoy. So sometimes the children are not as excited for quality time as mom and dad. So how can parents handle that?
I think just expressing how much you want to spend time with just them, maybe just you and maybe just your daughter together or just you and your son together. Lots of times kids just want that one-on-one attention and they're not really sure how to ask for it. So you can start by saying like how much time you want to spend with them, maybe asking them some things that they might like to do with you, like maybe a nightly walk after supper or maybe coming to the gym with you sometimes. Also, just inviting them to help you instead of making it into a chore they need to do. I know most kids usually have chores that they need to complete each week, but this can be something fun where it's just you and just your daughter or just you, just your son, and it's something special that you guys just do together.
I love that. You know, one of the things that's kind of racing through my mind is that the more moms and dads are spending that quality time, and what I'm hearing you say, it doesn't need to be big, long blocks of time. It can be those little moments, but those are the moments that could be so meaningful.
Exactly, yeah. Just something small, just something very small, like chopping vegetables, going for a walk, just maybe helping even take the dog out, something like that, just something small that you just do together.
It's funny, I just had a sort of a flashback moment. I have two younger sisters, and when we were kids and we would do our chores, usually on a Saturday, and I have memories, so many memories of our living room being so bright and sunny, and the three of us would be dusting and pledging, and I was older, so I got to do the vacuuming, which was actually quite fun. It's not as fun now, but it was fun. But I thought, you know, what happened to make it fun? And I remember my mom would always kind of get a fun song for us to listen to. And in those days, we didn't have CDs or iPods or anything. We had old, you know, the record player. And mom would always put something lively on and fun, and we'd turn it up and we'd sing and we'd dance. And so all of a sudden, a chore didn't feel like a chore anymore. It felt like that fun quality time.
Yeah, it was that bonding time to spend with your family and your sisters.
Yeah, and to this day, I have to have loud music on when I do housework. It just feels wrong any other way.
Oh, yeah. Great energizer as well.
And what about specific tasks? Would you say, Tegan, from your experience, there's specific tasks that would be more suitable or better perhaps for younger children?
Yeah, younger kids, they really are very hands-on, and most younger kids are really, they just want to help you. They just want to be where you are, do what you do. Lots of times young children will play at being like, I'm going to be a policeman like dad, or I'm going to be a teacher, or, you know, they want to be the moms and the dads in the family. So helping to make a pie or even helping to load the dishwasher or even wash the dishes is a great way to make young children feel included and special. For even younger kids, maybe like 3 or 4 years old, making Play-Doh together can be a really fun way to bond. You can set up, you know, the flour, the salt, the water up on the table. They just got to pour it together. Of course, you know, you'll heat it up over the stove. Even adding in what color does red and yellow make? You know, it makes orange or, you know, blue and red, kind of learning the colors as well. And just the magic of that for especially really young kids can be very bonding.
Well, and I love that you're bringing up the fact that they're actually learning skills that are important for life and important for their development. It's not just about the activity anymore. It's bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
And what about family activities that parents can suggest or bring forward to do with their children that are older?
With older children, usually some form of exercise, like going for a nature walk or swimming, could be a really good way to bond. Also with older kids, they're starting to get into maybe they're really into a specific sport or really into a specific movie or character. So taking a weekend and redecorating their room or making some crafts together are really good ways to bond with them.
That's fabulous. Well, these have been incredible tips for parents when they're wondering, how can I get my child more involved in family activities? And instead of me doing something for them, how can I actually have the opportunity to engage my child and learn and really have that quality time with my kids that I so miss? So wonderful tips, Tegan. I just love these. Anything else you wanted to add before we wrap up?
Just that it's so important to spend just some quality time with your kids. I see lots of children who I ask them, you know, what did you do on the weekend? And oftentimes they only say, oh, I just watched TV or, you know, I only was playing video games all weekend long. And you can kind of hear almost like a longing sometimes in some of their voices about how maybe they wish they were at a friend's house or, you know, maybe they wanted to spend time with mom or dad. And it doesn't have to be a big weekend getaway. I think as adults, when we're in our work environment, we look forward to like this big vacation. But for kids, something small, once a week or twice a week, really is huge to them.
So I love that. Even if your children are kind of rolling their eyeballs and dragging their feet, that they don't want to go hang out with mom and dad, you know what? They secretly might be inside jumping up and down, doing